great country, Q94. It's Coffee with Kyle with Parade of Shame Police Chief Kyle Tenor. It is the extended version. And I briefly alluded to this on the on-air version that I am often like, Kyle, you need to do more press releases and you need to send out more information. And then you do a press release and I feel like Ken had a really long week. And I feel like you were probably like, no, I didn't have to do this press release.
Listen, prior to September 5th, I despised social media.
Do you still despise social media?
It is the worst thing on the planet.
Yeah, okay, but I said, and I feel like I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a bit.
That's fine.
You're going to get mad at me.
No, you're fine.
But like I said, I knew it was going to blow up. And it was going to get used as a political tool, yeah, a political weapon, when you included the paragraph about his ties,
yeah,
with the Venezuelan gang. And I can't.
Yeah. And here, Trendera Agua is, yeah, what I've been told. So here, I've said this before on an extended version. I don't do a lot of press releases.
No.
The press releases that I find important are the ones that impact public safety, that,
yes,
the public needs to know affect public safety in your daily life. That's when I do a press release, right?
Yes. The way that press release got received, though, on social media,
yeah,
and what I saw, because one, I know I use social media a lot more than you do, and I have 1,700 friends on social media, and I don't think you
have 39.
I don't think you have 1,700 friends on social media. No. But the way I saw that being used.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was not the intended purpose.
I know.
The purpose behind it is to notify people that these things exist. And the other thing is like, evil exists in all of our communities. Give me a community, there's crime there. Period.
Well, yes. Whether human
it's,
nature.
Whether
is,
it's reported, yes, or not, there's crime there. It's just incredible to me the extent that people took it.
People took it as a Venezuelan gang has moved,
yeah,
in and has
taken over
the
streets
of Parade of Shame.
Yeah, totally.
And
that's
so,
not, yeah.
So from,
I don't know where in the press release that was written.
No, but I'm just saying.
No, I know.
And like I told you this after you sent it out, and I thought he's probably swearing a little bit under his breath about me, because I said, you brought this on yourself. And you could have left that paragraph out, because I knew people were going to see that paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to forget all about the sexual assault, and they were going to use it as a, this is why we have to stop immigration, yada, yada, yada. Forget the part that the party who was assaulted knew this person and brought them to Parade of Shame. He came here by himself. He, yep, came with that person. Now, clearly that person did not know what was going,
right,
to happen. And, yep, they're the victim here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they are the victim.
Yeah.
Not Joe Blow, who lives four streets over, who's worried about a Venezuelan gang taking over. He's not the victim.
Well, it gave me the opportunity to speak to news outlets that I never thought that I would be able to speak to.
Rightfully so.
But my message to all of them was that sexual assaults occur on a fairly regular basis. And,
yes,
that should be the thing that speaks to the core of our people, is that sexual assaults, domestic battery, strangulation, suffocation, all of those things should be the focus of this press release. Whether it is a Venezuelan immigrant or whether it is a, you know, full-blooded American that is born and raised in Parade
of Shame,
when they commit that offense, we should all have the same anger that somebody is violated and a victim has trauma that they have to get through. But from the reassuring thing from a law enforcement standpoint is we really don't treat it any differently.
No.
The same steps are taken to protect this victim, to make sure that they have basic necessities. And I do want to mention on this show that I have an incredible staff, and I say that all the time, but, you know, my folks who were assigned this case made sure that this lady had food and groceries and had her basic needs met before she left the area. She has since left the area because she's afraid, and probably rightfully so. But we made sure that she had you know, her basic needs met, could make that decision not out of desperation,
because, yes,
yeah, but because, you know, it was the right thing to do. And so again, my staff is, I put in my release, this is a victim-centered investigation. We shouldn't focus on the suspect on this, right? He's in jail. He's going to be held responsible for what he did. But from a law enforcement standpoint, we really need to focus on the victim and how do we reduce victimization and how do we make sure that this person is strong enough, courageous enough, and can get through this trauma to, A, testify in court, continue to cooperate with the investigation, and give us the necessary tools to hold this person accountable for his actions. And he happens to be from Venezuela.
So now, you having said all that, I'm going to ask you this just simply because we've done a show together for 5 years. Why did you choose to include that he was known to be a part of the Venezuelan gang? You could have left that part out. There didn't have to be any mention of that. It could have been this person was arrested, they were charged.
Yep.
Like you do almost any other press release I've ever gotten. I've never gotten a backstory on any other press release that you've gotten.
Yeah.
So why did you choose to include it this time?
For a couple different reasons. One, I wanted to make sure people knew that this wasn't a stranger activity, that this was a one-off incident that occurred, right? And two, I think that the brutality used in this case needed to be attributed to something, and I attributed it to this gentleman's cultural background or maybe lack thereof, right? Similar to if somebody who is a registered sex offender committed an offense like that, in my press release, I would say this person is a registered sex offender and has a history of this type of behavior. This might be the reason why this occurred. And that's kind of my explanation of this individual has a history of a propensity for violence, and that might be the reason why this incident occurred.
This case was so violent.
Right. Yep.
Because from what you've told me, it was a very, very violent case.
And full disclosure, I wanted people to know, right? I really did, because I wanted the community to know that this wasn't just some dude hanging out at the local tavern that found a victim and committed sexual assault. I wanted them to know that this was somebody who is a transient to our community that was brought here by the victim. Again, no fault of her own, had no expectation of what was about to occur to her and the second victim. And it happened, right?
Well, and I think, again, playing devil's advocate, and it is an election cycle, and immigration continues to always be that hot topic.
But here's the reality. If it took you to realize that immigration is a mess, if this article was the point in your life where you realized the immigration system is a mess.
No, Kyle. Finally happening in people's backyard. Here's the thing is we can all watch CBS and NBC and MSNBC, and you can see all of this stuff happening, and you see it happening in Texas, and you can see it happening
Lori,
XYZ area.
This is my explanation. We should be as upset about the Lake and Rileys of the world as we are about a resident of Prairie du Chien.
I'm aware, but there are so many people who believe that that's not happening where they are, that they live in a bubble.
Well, they're silly.
I'm aware.
Okay.
You are in a position where you see the worst of humanity on almost a daily, if not weekly, basis.
Yeah.
That is part of your job.
Yeah.
You know that we are not immune to drug problems here in the Q94 listening area. You know we are not immune to hard fentanyl, methamphetamine, heroin, cocaine use.
Yep.
My neighbor down the street may not believe that that is true. For a long time, I mean, I don't want to say I was of that, but even still right now, I have no idea where I could find a hard drug. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
If my life depended on getting somebody a gram of cocaine, I don't even know if a gram of cocaine is a lot. I would be like, I don't put the gun to my head and end it because I don't know where to get it. The same thing is true about immigration, in that unless it's happening on your front doorstep, you choose to believe that's somebody else's problem. because it's such a hot button, it's such a big problem, it's such a complex problem,
yeah,
that unless you're literally seeing it, you're going to choose to, I don't want to, I don't know how to deal with that problem.
Well, here's,
I don't know how to take a stand on that problem because I don't deal with it in my daily life.
Yeah, one of my conversations I had with an Alphabet Soup agency, federal agency that was in assisting us this past week. I'll remind you, this wasn't the only case we had all week long. Last week was incredibly...
You did say that last week.
I do not remember, in 20 years, I do not remember a week like last week. You got one press release, and I could have done 20.
I know, and I
It was
said,
insane. It was absolutely insane.
Do you want to send out another press?
I just don't. I don't understand where this came from. But anyways, my staff just worked their tails off last week. I'm dealing with an Alphabet Soup federal agency last week, and I had a conversation in my office about, this isn't a Democrat or Republican issue. This is an American issue, and how we have for whatever reason, gotten into a place where we're like, your right is righter than our right, and your wrong is wronger than our wrong. How we have gotten to a place where we cannot find a middle ground to solve this issue for the American people, I just don't understand. I don't understand how we've so divided, so tribal, that we can't understand that this is a pressing issue that needs to be addressed, not by Republicans, not by Democrats, but by the people that we've elected to make these decisions.
Well, because it's not a cut or dry, easy solution.
You're right, it isn't. but we're talking about lives here. We're talking about livelihoods here. And I just, for me, I'm glad I'm not a politician. I'm glad I'm not politically connected in any way, shape, or form, because I see it through a different lens, I think.
And, you know, I brought this up to you off air. I said, you know, what this person did was incredibly violent.
Yep.
And I said, either this person was just born evil, you know, born with just a sick mind. And, right, you know, there are sociopaths and there are psychopaths and whatever, you know, there's, yep, a ton of different paths that you can diagnose somebody as.
Yep.
But I also said to you, this person was 24, 26?
26, 26.
What have they seen in their 26 years on planet Earth,
yeah,
to make them that violent?
Yeah, I can't answer that.
No.
But it begs a question. And, you know, trauma is something that people experience in all sorts of ways and fashions. And we all deal with that trauma in different ways, right? And we can't necessarily give that as a scapegoat. But I will go back to the cultural component that I mentioned right from the get-go, is we are blessed in America to live in a civilized society where these types of criminal offenses you're held accountable for. And, you know, you're on a registry and you could be on a GPS bracelet and you can go to prison for a long period of time and those types of things, right? Other societies aren't that way. They just aren't, whether it's investigative failures, whether it's judicial failures, whether it's just
a systemic failure
of their country.
We talked about this last week. You just talked about, you know, our, you know, Republican, Democrat, our, you know, current crazy situation, landscape, yeah, environment that we're in. But for all of the cracks and the problems that the United States government has, we still look like a beacon and, yeah, a pillar, well, compared, sure, to the Venezuelan.
But there's a reason why they're all coming here, well, right?
I mean, exactly. That
it's for the American dream. And there may be some other reasons too that are nefarious or, you know, driven by other things. But again, I'll go, you mentioned the drug issue. There's a ton of money in this. There's a ton, oh, of, yeah, money to be made by perpetrators who want to inundate our communities with drugs. And that's just the reality. And that's the unfortunate truth of addiction. We have a society who has a tendency to become addicted to things. We are sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts. Caffeine could be addiction, right?
It is.
That's just the reality. And so
Human nature tends to go to things that give us a high,
yep,
that give us a dopamine rush. That's why
and boys somebody
like
makes
girls.
Money off of
That's
it.
Why girls, yeah, like boys, you know.
Somebody makes money off of it.
Yes.
And there's a lot of money to be made in the market of illicit drugs. And that's a connection here as well. I mean, that's, it is, you know, we are not immune to the fentanyl overdose problems of this country. We have had a fairly significant increase over the last 12 months of that, and that's the availability of drugs, specifically drugs that are laced with fentanyl, cannot be described. Plentiful in our communities, and this is not unique to Prairie du Chien. We just happen to be on the national news and be quoted by every news agency around. And it's just crazy to me.
It is. Now, on the flip side, you know, you can look at this as a what-if scenario.
Right.
So this gentleman came to Prairie du Chien with the victim, of which they knew each other.
Yep.
Now, say she does not report the sexual assault. You know, it doesn't get reported or it's not as severe.
Mm-hmm.
And he continues to live here with her, and say 2 weeks, 2 months, a group of his friends come to visit him and they understand that there is a market for illegal drugs here. Then does what everybody's fearing and saying on social media, does that actually happen?
Well, to a certain point, it's certainly possible, right? But that's possible in any community that you're living in right now. So I will say this. One of the things that I may have mentioned this to you. 12 years ago in my career, I arrested a person who was from Guatemala, and he was interrupted at bar time, 2:30 in the morning, in his neighbor's apartment, going through her personal items, and became physically violent. We went to trial. He was convicted. He was deported back to Guatemala. So this isn't a new thing. Like, no. I've experienced this stuff before. One of the things unique about this case is we are not a sanctuary city. I will communicate with ICE when we have contact with somebody who isn't a U.S. citizen. And I'll leave it up to them. If they feel like they've met the threshold of a propensity for violence and deserve to go back to whatever country they originate from, then ICE is going to put that detainer on and they're going to be sent back to whatever country they originate from, right? And so that's going to be similar. If we have those arrests, we cooperate with ICE. And I believe that's a legitimate thing to do because they are a federal authority in the United States, have law enforcement powers, and I respect their capabilities to make that determination on whether this person poses an imminent threat to our country. And if they do, they should be taken into custody, held, and deported. I believe that, right? Does that make me Republican? I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. It makes me feel better about looking out for my community.
Caring. I was going to say, as the person who is in charge of policing for a community. Yeah,
that's my job.
It's essentially saying, I don't know if this person, you know, you don't want to be held responsible should you not have called ICE and they get out on bond and they continue to live in Prairie du Chien.
And continue to victimize
or continue to do illegal activity. Now you have done a disservice to your community. Instead, you say, hey, I would not like this person here, but I'm also not the enforcer of federal laws. Yeah. Would you like to come in and weigh your opinion?
Yeah. And that's what we did in this case was we reached out to immigration and we said, hey, this person has immigration papers with them. We can show where he crossed the border, when he crossed the border. We could show a lot of his travel. We could show that he had been arrested and charged before.
I was just gonna say, this was not the first time,
no.
Which I guess confuses me. And I think this is what I saw a lot on social media posts, yep. Was this was not his first run-in with the law.
Right.
How did he continue to... I don't want to say roam free, but roam free.
Yeah, I don't know all the details. I have a 35,000 foot view of the situation. But in his when he was arrested, in his documents, we had first off, we had several documents of immigration. Mm-hmm. We also had ID cards, of which several were false. One in particular was a Social Security card, United States Social Security card. It was false. It was a fake document. He got that someplace. It looked real. I looked at it. I'm like, oh, that looks like my Social Security card. It's fake. He had an ID that was printed someplace. It's fake. Not something that the United States issues or any other country issues. It was just a fictitious card. his previous arrests. So in his documents, we had an arrest document from the city of Minneapolis for receiving stolen property.
When you say receiving stolen property, what does that mean? Sorry.
It means
like somebody, like I stole this and I gave it to you.
Could mean a multitude of things. Okay. Could mean that you were pulled over in a vehicle that was reported stolen and you said, hey, John gave this to me. I didn't know that it was stolen. Could be as severe as that, or it could be, you know, somebody walks out of the Walgreens and hands you the bag as they walk out and it's stolen property.
Okay.
Could be a multitude of different things. Anyways, he had contact with Minneapolis Police Department because he had the document that was filled out with his name, mm-hmm. offense date, the offense, all that stuff was in his documents. We also know that when we ran a warrant check on him, he had warrants through Dane County for very similar charges to what we were going to arrest him for. So, I don't know the extent of the police contact in Dane County. Through our interviews, we have determined that he had another victim, female victim, very similar scenario to what we had here, and was ultimately charged. There's a criminal complaint filed in Dane County and a warrant for his arrest to get him into court in Dane County to answer for his crimes there. So, I don't know that he had contact with the sheriff's office. That's a question mm-hmm. that's out there. That's what we're still working on. I believe Derek Van Orden has a letter to the sheriff of Dane County asking for an explanation on this, on what extent they had contact with this person. And I don't know the policies of Dane County or Minneapolis. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know those. But I know for here, you know, when you're arrested and we can't determine that you're a U.S. citizen, we reach out to our federal partners to say, can you help us? And this person is showing prominent tattoos, and we get briefed on those things. There are unclassified documents.
I was just going to ask how quickly you were able to determine the affiliation, or yeah. I mean, how.
So we get.
I mean, I know what a teardrop tattoo means.
We get law enforcement bulletins from all sorts of different agencies.
Okay.
Both local.
I see that in the movies.
Both local municipal agencies. Local sheriff's offices, state agencies send us
law enforcement bulletins. So it's something specific that you've known to look out
for. We get these bulletins on a fairly regular basis.
Not quite as common as a teardrop tattoo, but along those lines.
Yeah, and then even a teardrop tattoo doesn't, there's people that have teardrop tattoos that have never left Puerto Sheen. So, I mean, it's just
it's one of those things.
So we were vaguely aware of common signs and symptoms of gang affiliation. And those are things that we look for when we are investigating, right? And this person just happened to, and quite frankly, the victim in this case said, hey, there's a possibility that there's a connection here to some activity that you should know about. And so she told us, and that was important.
You know, you and I have had this conversation off air before, and, you know, I know they're in the process of building a new jail. But you and I have had the conversation a lot of, and kind of alluding to what we talked about later, that, you know, we as Midwesterners in general, especially in small isolated communities like the Q94 listening area, kind of have this belief that it's not going to happen here.
Right.
It can't happen here. So now here we are in Crawford County, Wisconsin, you know, population, 14,000 people? Where you even said last week when we talked, you know, you have your repeat customers. You know, you are a community focused, you know, you kind of know, most of the customers that you're going to deal with. And a lot of them, you know their backstory.
Yeah.
You know the level of danger that they can pose. This is an instance where this is not your average repeat offender.
Yeah,
this is not your frequent customer.
By everything we know at this point, you're right. A couple more points I want to make on this before we leave. A lot of questions that I got in my inbox were, actually one of them in particular was, my husband and myself have a vacation plan to Puerto Sheen. We are now fearful of coming.
That's what I said. People politicize
that. But my question is, where are you coming from? Because whatever community you're coming from, probably has crime. And so it is unfortunate that fear can burn in somebody's stomach so much so that they will change how they live their life based off of the possibility.
People saw that statement.
But the other thing is nobody, no chief of police, no sheriff, no attorney general, no director of the FBI, I don't care who you are, you cannot predict the next criminal activity in your community. There's no way for me to say there will be no crime today in Prairie du Chien. There's no way for me to say that. And so I think some people were waiting for me to tell them that, and that's not something I can tell them, because the moment they're the victim of a crime, they're going to say, gosh darn it, that police chief told me I was in a safe community.
Well, that's what I said. I feel like people read that singular sentence that he had known affiliation to the Chundayagua gang, yeah, and assumed he was not here alone. And that, again, it was like there was a gang,
yeah,
you know, running the streets of Prairie du Chien, and he just happened to be the one that was arrested. Like, people, again, in 2024, people are so quick to believe the sensationalized version of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even my own mother, I told you this off air, which I don't know what this says about me or my sister, but she's like, oh, I'm worried about your sister going to Prairie. And I was like, one, why? I just told you the details. Two, I'm here every day, all day. Why aren't you worried about me?
You kick some butt, Lori.
It's just like, gee, thanks, Mom. Not worried about me. You're worried about my sister. But I feel like in just the heightened political world that we live in, and where you see the stuff that's happening in, like, Aurora, Colorado,
yeah,
people assume that was what was going to happen in Prairie.
Yeah, I mean, I have a high level of confidence that that is not going to be the case. Can I guarantee it?
No.
No. Can I guarantee that Mr. and Mrs. Smith, coming from XYZ city to the city of Prairie du Chien to enjoy trout fishing streams in the area,
really asked, am I safe to come to the police? Like, I'm trying to imagine a world in which I see a social media post and then I message the police chief or the police department asking that question.
Lori, I just told you one of the inbox questions that I received.
Let's go back. Mayor of Chicago, I saw that there was a shooting. Is it safe to come to your city?
Let's go back to my very initial topic of this, yeah, extended version.
You hate social media.
Should I not release this information for the sake of my weekend? Last weekend would have been drastically different had I not released any details on this case. What do you think?
Well, this is what I will say.
You're somebody who's told me I don't do enough press releases.
I know, and you're making me, but the other thing is, I'm going to go back on this. You said that last week was a crazy week.
Oh my gosh.
And because of the overshadowing of this, you said you could have done 20 press releases. Well, now I don't know about the 20 other crimes, yeah, that happened.
Well, it's not even just crimes. It's just like a multitude of things happening. Not necessarily criminal offenses,
because
but like
this took over
investigations
your time.
That took, yeah, place. It is like I set a plan for my day, and usually it's a list. Shocking, I know. But I set that plan, and inevitably, curveballs come in. And
it's like every day.
This person knocks on the door and says, hey, you need to know about this. And this person knocks on the door and says, hey, this person's here to see you. And it's one thing after another. And my cops felt that last week. They were going from a call to the next call to the next call and trying to figure out, is this real life right now? Is this really what we're dealing with? And it was. And not to mention, it's been a long summer. We've been short-staffed here and there. We've got one person in training right now that will hopefully be done, I think, on the 24th-ish Don't quote me, Riley. You're still in training, so don't screw up. But no, it was a long week. It was a long week.
So to answer your question,
yeah.
As somebody who
do
is,
you want every car dealer 1050 that we go to?
Kind of.
Wow.
Because I have agencies that send me.
Yeah, I'm just.
I have agencies that send me every arrest warrant, every bail, every.
I think I just used the 10 code there too. It's 1050 is a crash, but.
I mean, I get those from some agencies, and it is appreciated because then, as the media, we can determine what's newsworthy instead of you telling us what's newsworthy and you trying to do our jobs. Mm-hmm. I don't try and do your job as a police officer. So,
yeah, but if I don't give you anything, I don't think I'm telling you how to do your job.
No.
I'm telling you, pack up your stuff and go home. There's nothing going on.
But then you come in on Fridays and tell me everything that is going on. And I say, wow, it would have been cool if I could have had that in the news, because then I get the phone calls because the residents are looking out their window and going, the cops have been at this house for 2 hours and you had nothing on the news.
Yep.
Or I know this happened and why don't you have it on the news? Because I am the one who take those phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you reported about this story out of Grant County. You reported about this story out of Clayton County. Why aren't you reporting on the stories that are happening right under your nose?
Yep.
And so then I could be a pain in the ass and I could come in and I could, pain in the butt, I could come in and I could always request open records from you every morning. Now, whose job is easier? Mine or yours? When I'm coming in every day to get open records requests.
You're definitely creating yourself more work by getting open records because you're going to have a lot to read.
Exactly.
And then you're going to have to come up with your own story.
Exactly. So, again, should you have sent out the press release? You should have sent it out, of course. And I'll say this, the paragraph that included the part of his gang affiliation, you did the work of the media for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you would have stopped after the first two paragraphs, I would have gone, why is there a Venezuelan in Prairie du Chien?
Right.
That seems odd. And then I would have probably contacted you or requested open records and said, I feel like there's more to this story. Do you care to elaborate?
No, I don't. No, it's just...
And then you might not have made national news.
Yeah, it's true.
And it might have just been a blip of, wow, there was a really violent sexual assault. It happened to be a Venezuelan. You know, this person was detained by ICE, and that's the end of the day.
Yeah.
But you did the media's job for us. So we didn't really have to do that digging. Then we just wanted more questions from you.
Yeah, I guess. I just, there really is no win.
There just isn't. Because the information was going to get out. It was just, and I understand from your point of view, you're trying to get it out in the most do no harm way.
Yeah.
You're trying to control the message too.
There's really three goals that I had. One was to deliver the facts. Two, to reassure the public that we had a handle on it. And three, to reassure the public that you could continue your life as is. We live in this community. Mm-hmm. All of my cops are either from here or live here. We walk our kids in the same sidewalks as everybody else. My daughter still visits the neighbor down the street by riding her bicycle down there. And, you know, it's just... We can't begin to live our lives based on somebody else's actions. Like,
yes,
you still have to live your life. Yeah. And that's important.
But also you should be vigilant.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you deliver that message in a way that's not going to elicit somebody to send you a message and say, so I shouldn't come to your community ever again. Or
this is why you hire a communications director.
Well, it's budget time.
We get paid a lot of money to do those things. I have a lot of fancy degrees. I wish I knew where to find one, and one
that was free.
I have a lot of fancy degrees in communication and messaging.
Yeah.
Might be my job. Either way, I feel like we have covered a lot. We might have talked in circles two or three times. I might have swore once. But since it doesn't go over the airwaves, I think I don't have to edit that out.
Wow.
I think just because it goes on the website. I might go
of the two of us slipping up and swearing. I thought it was going to be me first.
You know, we've been doing this show for 5 years. 4 years. We on season 5? We said we were on season 5, right? It's 2020. We started in 2020?
Yeah.
So we're starting season 5.
Yes.
I feel like that's a pretty good record.
Okay.
That I've only had to edit one time.
Yeah.
Or maybe I can put a nice little like bleep over it.
There you go. Just, I think you should bleep more often just so like people really think we're going off in here. Yeah.
Well, like I said, I mean, I think when we talk about communication, I feel like we are always going to, you know, you see things from your very, you know, you're a top of a chief or a, you know, chief of police and policing. I understand media and yeah. how media messages are created.
And the two are not the same.
They are not the
same. But they are connected.
And you want to know what's funny is that we very much share a public image issue.
Yeah, sure.
In that, you know, policing, the whole reason we're doing this show is because, you know, the public's distrust in policing and a few bad eggs,
yeah.
You know, tarnishing.
Hey, we never even talked about like the Tariq Hill. I got to talk to Cody about that on my way out.
I was going to ask you about that too, yeah. because I assumed, not to add on, and I assumed it was an extenuating circumstance that he was speeding in a place where it was not safe to be speeding. We've talked about this before.
So wait, let me follow you. You thought that he was speeding in a place that it wasn't safe to be speeding? Well, or you're saying now that he was speeding in a place that it was safe to be speeding?
No.
Okay.
Where we've talked about this before, that you know, if you're going 62 in a 55, but you're being safe, you know.
It's different than going 62 different. In a school zone.
No, it's different than going 40 in a 25, but it's a school zone gotcha. And there are kids all over.
Okay.
Correct?
Yeah, for sure.
You've told me this multiple times.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
So what I assumed is he was driving recklessly and speeding in a spot where it was very dangerous.
And
he was flexing, I'm Tyreek Hill. I can do what I want.
And now you've determined that that's not the case?
No, I don't know what the case is.
All right.
When I read the original story,
yeah.
that's what I assumed.
Yeah.
Because of our conversations, that you would not detain somebody and not make a scene if it wasn't an extenuating circumstance.
Well, first and
because
foremost,
you've taught me this.
The thing that stood out to me most about that video is that cop had friends there almost instantly. Like, how do you get that many cops to come to your aid that fast for crying out loud?
Is it was no, an
they,
area.
Yeah, it was close to the stadium. It was close yeah. enough to the stadium that other NFL players arrived on scene, went by there and said, hey, that's Tariq Hill. We need to get out and help him. And there's cops around there, right?
Yeah.
Anytime you've gone yeah. to a professional sporting yeah. event, there's a you know multitude of cops around there. And so I don't know all the details. I in all honesty, haven't watched the body camera. I tend to not watch body cameras because it's what I do for a living, and I just don't. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Well, like I said, we're very similar.
But what I've read, Tariq Hill has said, I could have handled myself differently, right?
Yes.
I don't think the cop has released a statement yet. The Fraternal Order of Police or whatever union he's part of released a statement supporting him. It'll be interesting to see how this all turns out. Tariq Hill has said that the cop should be fired.
Yeah.
One statement that I did make in my office, when the Miami Dolphins released their statement that basically said the cops mishandled the situation. They shouldn't have done it this way. We expect accountability to be held on the police department.
It's a bold statement to make.
This is what I said in my office. I'm wondering if Mike Daniels would give the play sheet to the chief of police of Miami-Dade Police Department and let him call all the offensive plays for their next game. I'm just curious. And if he says no, I want to ask him why not. Because he's going to say, because I'm the coach and I coach football. You don't know anything about football.
I knew exactly where this is going.
I just give me 10 plays. So, just let me call 10 plays.
So Kyle, when it comes to media, you let us do our job.
Yeah. That's why I asked you, do you think I should release this or not? And you said, yeah, you should have released it. Good job.
I did, yes.
Other than
yes.
And, your little critiques.
And like I said, you know, we're in very similar positions because everybody loves to scrutinize the media.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Well, I mean, you just got to fact check people when they need to be fact checked.
Exactly. And, you know, we get a bad rap for certain talking heads when we're not necessarily all the same talking heads.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like we're both very passionate about our given professions, and, you know, they work hand in hand.
Yeah, for sure.
If the messaging from a lot of these situations was better in the beginning, would the media sensationalize the stories as much?
You don't want my answer.
Also, remember, we need to get paid too, and we need clicks. So, you know, there's that.
Something like that.
Yeah. It's Coffee with Kyle, the extended version, in which we covered so many topics. It was a good extended version. You know, Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce got like a how many million deal for their podcast?
More than we got.
I think we're well on our way. All right. I think we're well on our way. It's Coffee with Kyle, the extended version from Duncan and Prairie du Chien.